Amen. Thanks, Sam. Okay, small group notes are there for those who need them. And we are in James. So, if you would like to turn to James chapter 4. And if you'd like a Bible, then stick your hand up. In the church Bibles, it's on page 1215, 1215. I'm going to go straight in, okay? So verse 13, we're starting at verse 13, and the heading is boasting about tomorrow. Okay. Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. In this passage, James is addressing the wealthy businessmen who were traveling around from city to city, setting up businesses, buying and selling, and trying to make lots of money. And they've got lots of plans. In verse 13, we see there's a good little plan that they've got. They've got the when, today or tomorrow. They've got the where, they go to this city or that city. They've got the how, they're going to spend a year there. They've got the what, they're going to do business, they're going to buy and sell. And they've got the why, to make lots of money. It's all there in verse 13. However, in the midst of all their planning, they've forgotten the most important aspect, the who. None of their plans have got God as part of them, as God is not. Pardon, they're making their plans for the future without any recognition of the God who controls the future, the one who holds their very futures in his hands. And there's no recognition of that. Now, just in case you are sitting there thinking, that's really good, so it's good that we don't make plans. It's good that we don't get organized, and that's really helpful because I love to be spontaneous and I don't like making plans and lists and thinking about the future. I just like to go with the flow. That's not actually what James is saying. He's not saying that it's wrong to make plans. He's not saying that we shouldn't ever organize things and we should just be led by the Spirit, although I do believe we should be led by the Spirit. J. John said this, when you fail to plan, you plan to fail. And the theologian, Alec Motier, he says this, James is not trying to banish planning from our lives, but only that sort of self-sufficient, self-important planning that keeps God for Sunday, but looks on Monday to Saturday as mine. He goes on to say, too often Christians leave God in the church or at home when they take the train to work. James sees that either God is honored as Lord in the place of business as well as home, or else the crucial factor of the humble spirit has been sacrificed on the altar of presumptuousness. Last week, Andy was talking about that. We can draw near to God. We can come near to God. And one of the ways we do that is by humble submission. Humility is key. And you might say, well, that's interesting, Johnny, but I don't get the train to work. I'm not a wealthy businessman. You know, really, what's this got to do with me? Well, it's not about the planning. It's about the kind of sense where they are becoming God in their own right. They're making their plans as if they are God, and that they don't even have to inquire of the Lord. They're saying, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And in the midst of it, they're bragging and they are boasting. They're trying to outdo one another. I'm sure that you've never done that, have you? You've never, ever tried to outdo a colleague or a friend or by bragging or by boasting. Have you ever seen businessmen boast about what they've achieved? I've done this. This is what I've done. This is what I've achieved. This is my company, how it's grown over the last few years. Just going to show you a little clip, and let's see. See if you remember this sketch, if it comes up. So you can remember it, and it's about a group of businessmen who are boasting. So we're just, can we just move on from that, Daniel? Don't worry. It was a Monty Python sketch. And those of you who remember, it was about the four Yorkshiremen. But basically, it was about these businessmen who were boasting. They were trying to outdo one another. And this is the issue that James has, that these guys, they are boasting. There's no acknowledgement of God. And James says to them, look, you know, that's crazy. That's foolish living. And there are two reasons why he gives that it's foolish. And the first is this, it's the uncertainty of life. In verse 13 and 14, he says, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city. We will spend a year there, we'll carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. And his point is, we don't know what's going to happen this afternoon, let alone tomorrow or next week or the following year. So therefore, it's really important that we bring God in to these plans that we have. James is just echoing the words of King Solomon, who said in Proverbs 27, do not boast about tomorrow, for you do not know what a day may bring. The uncertainty of life. I'm sure that Annalise and Simon would not have been expecting their mother, who had been in hospital for a back operation, suddenly to be rushed into hospital the following week with meningitis. That wasn't on the plan. That wasn't part of what they had planned for that time. They were planning for a recovery from this back operation. Who remembers Boxing Day 2004? Who can tell me what happened? Tsunami. An earthquake happened in the Indian Ocean on Boxing Day in 2004, and as a consequence, a tsunami hit 14 different countries. And within a short space of time, it left 230,000 people dead. No one knew that was coming. It was just an ordinary day. People got up as normal. They went to the beach. The sky was blue. The sun was shining. They were enjoying life on the beach, and suddenly, it reminds me that when Jesus is asked by his disciples, you know, what are the signs of your coming again? And when are you going to come again? And Jesus tells them, there'll be this, there'll be that, there'll be rumors of wars and trials and tribulations. But no one knows the day that the Son of Man is coming. No one, not even the angels, not even the Son himself. Only the Father in heaven knows the day that I'm coming again. And he said it would be just like in the days of Noah, where people were eating and drinking and enjoying life and getting married and doing all these kind of things, then suddenly the flood hit and they were taken away. He said, that is what it'd be like on my coming. Jesus is coming again. Hallelujah. Do you believe that? Are you excited about that? You see, he's coming again, but no one knows when. I can guarantee you we are closer now than we've ever been. I'm clever. We are closer now. He could be this afternoon. It could be just as we're watching England play. He could save us from having to watch that. But seriously, you know, he's coming again, and he's coming back for his bride. He's coming back for his church. He's coming back for you and for me, for those who put their faith and trust in him. He's coming back, but we don't know when. The question is, are we going to be ready? You see, a wise man makes sure that he's ready, that his plans are in the center of God's will. Remember the parable that Jesus told about the rich man who had all this great wealth, and he had he had two small barns, and he decides to get rid of the small barns and build bigger ones and fills them up with all his grain, with all his crop. And then he says, I'm going to sit back, I'm going to relax, I'm just going to enjoy life. And God says, you fool, that very night your life is going to be taken. You see, life is uncertain, isn't it? So to make our plans without even consulting God is foolishness, says James. It doesn't matter if you're a wealthy businessman or not. But secondly, the shortness of life. In verse 14, James said, what is your life? You're a mist that appears for a little while and then it vanishes. Psalm 90 is a psalm of Moses. Psalm 90, verse 10. Says, the length of our days is 70 years or 80 if we have the strength. Yet their span is but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Verse 12 says, teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. This summer, I would have been in ministry, full-time ministry, 21 years. Sorry? I know. 21 years. And do you know, one of the most painful things is the people who you do funerals for who are younger than yourself. And it just doesn't seem right. I remember doing a funeral for a lady in a previous church. She wasn't a Christian, actually, but she had four children, and she was in her 80s, and three of them died before her. You see, life is fragile. Life is short, isn't it? Some clever spark came up that if you live for 70 years, this is what you'd spend your life doing. The whole list of things. It said you'd spend 23 years sleeping, 18 years working, that's a quarter of your life working, 8 years watching TV, 6 years eating, 5 years traveling, 4 years leisure, 4 years illness, and 2 years dressing. Obviously wasn't a Christian. But life's short. Paul in Ephesians says this, Ephesians 5. Do you think I need a new Bible? So I think I told you this before, but I sold my record collection when I became a Christian to buy this. So this is so precious to me. It's like I can't do without it. Paul says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Time is short. So Paul says, you know, if you want to be wise, then why don't you make the most of your time by inquiring of the Lord of how he wants you to spend your time. Find out what he wants you to do. If you don't already know, find out, pray, seek the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want me to do with my time, with my talents, with the gifts that you've given me? Where do you want me to invest them? Help me not to waste my time. If you pray like that and you live like that, you are a wise person. And you're even wiser when you then say, Lord, would you fill me with the power to be able to live the life you've called me to live? Would you fill me daily with your Holy Spirit that I may have the power and the ability to live the life you've called me to live? You see, the life of a disciple is a life of submission. Jesus invites us daily to submit our lives to him and to submit our plans to him. Psalm 37 says this: commit your way to the Lord, trust in him and he will do it. He will make your righteousness shine like the dawn, the justice of your cause like the noonday sun. Proverbs 3 verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your plans, your path straight. You wise? To be wise is to give our plans to the Lord regularly. God hasn't got a problem with making plans. It's wise to make plans, but they're plans where God is at the very center. Because James's point is that if we do not do that, then we are playing God ourselves. And when we acknowledge God, we're acknowledging that actually life is a gift. It's a gift that God gives to us. It's not a right. And we say, Lord, what do you want me to do with my life? With my time and my talents? Show me. Psalm 25 says this: show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Will you say that as a prayer? Should we say it as a prayer now together? Let's say it. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me. For you are God, my Savior, and my hope is in you all day long. Amen. Father, we just want to commit to you one another. And Lord, you know that many of us have busy, busy lives. And Lord, we just want to commit one another to you and pray that you would help us to plan our days with you at the center. Lord, that we wouldn't be like these wealthy businessmen who just presume that they could do this and that and go there. And Lord, that we would acknowledge that life is a gift from you and that it belongs to you and that you give us all the blessings that we have. So Lord, help us to live wisely. Help us to find out what you want us to do. And fill us with the power of your Spirit to be able to do those things for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Every day we have decisions to make. Do you know, the most important decision that any one of us can ever make is to give our lives to Jesus. And I just want to give this opportunity today. I don't know why, I just feel I want to say, if you cannot say for certain that you know Jesus, and that if Jesus was to come back today, you weren't sure if you would be that would be a good thing or not. If you can honestly say you don't know if you're going to spend eternity with him, then I want to give you the opportunity. Maybe you just want to shut your eyes. Maybe just shut your eyes for a moment. And because life is full of decisions and choices that we have to make every day. Some of them are really small, irrelevant, have no impact. But some are massive and have big consequences on our lives And the most important one is to say yes to Jesus. Lord, I just want to pray for an open heart, an open spirit, an open heaven upon this place today. And Lord, you know who belongs to you. You know who loves you. You love each of us, wherever we are on our journey with you. You love us whether we acknowledge you or not. And Lord, I pray tonight that today there'll be not one single person in this place who doesn't leave this place knowing, secure in the fact and the knowledge that you love them and that you have a plan and purpose and that they are going to spend eternity with you because of what you've done. So Lord, I'll just pray, would you move by your Spirit? If you want to say yes to Jesus, then you come and see me afterwards. Is that okay? And we'll pray for you. But we're going to come to communion now. And if those are going to help serve, would like to come forward.